I present the prophet of the Almighty Baller.
Yeah, I've been recording for like the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'm good at recording.
No, I just started early. Thought I would.
You're on Amino Hassan. You don't get to decide when we start. I get to just...
Sorry, Prof, I'll do it again.
Yeah, I get to decide when we start. Speak you, bitch. You're now listening to Almighty Ball and the Almighty Podcast, brought to you by Fan Essentials and SeatGeek. Fan Essentials, the best NBA gear for your body, now NFL. And SeatGeek, the best tickets for your butt to sit in. I'm Chris Axman. Hey, that's me, aka the Prof. And I'm here today with two NBA reporters of vastly different quality. Harrison Wind is the much better of the two. I'm just kidding.
Ouch.
They're both beautiful, great, really talented guys who cover the Nuggets. Harrison, why don't you say hi to the listeners and say your Twitter for everyone so that they can find you?
Yeah, what's up, everybody? You can follow me at NBA Wind, NBA, and then my last name, WIND. You can find all my work on bsndenver.com.
Great, awesome. And then, next up, you know him and you love him. You know him, definitely, for sure. Tim, you know him and I love him. Tim, what's going on?
Hey, Prof. How are we, guys? I mean, you probably have my Twitter by now. It's not gonna.
But say change. It again, man. But it's the it's the only way.
It's at tdelia96, tdelia96.
Is the 96 your birthday? Is that the idea?
Yes.
It's not very creative, but. speaking of 96, you know who else was born in 96? I'm pretty sure Jamal Murray was.
A lot of people.
Was he? Well, he's how old? He's 19, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, he would have been born in 96.
I nailed it.
Yeah, most people drafted at my age now.
Yeah, I heard Danny LaRue on his podcast last night saying that I'm not sure it was last night, but a while ago, say that all those draft recruits are making him feel old. I guess, Tim, do they make you feel young or just about right?
Nah, it's a weird feeling, you know, knowing that people that same age as you are going to be playing in the NBA, and then I'm just sitting here just watching it every day.
Yeah, what are you doing with your life, man?
Yeah.
Well, moving right along, Harrison. I saw Chris Dempsey's tweet from last night. He said that Jamal Murray, sharpshooter from Kentucky, was the third person on the Nuggets draft board. Where did you have him? And now that you have him, do you feel like he's number one? Because that's the NBA fan way.
Yeah, I had Jamal Murray fourth. Behind, obviously, Ingram and Simmons, and then I had Bender ahead of Murray also.
Wow.
But yeah, I had him fourth.
Wow, that's a high rating. Is that for the Nuggets specifically, or was it just for the whole big board?
No, that was for my whole big board. I really liked Murray. I really liked him this last year at Kentucky, and I just think because of his ceiling is really why I put him so high.
Yeah. I'm just a little afraid with Murray, but I definitely agree with you that he'll give away some of the points that he gets on offense, on defense, because although I think that Nuggets fans and then the rest of the NBA, once they start contending and getting into the playoffs and getting national TV time, I just think that, you know, the NBA will figure out, like, wow, this guy is explosive on the offensive end because his, you know, quickness and his movement in a straight line is so good. But then on defense, they'll be like, wait, why can't you replicate this? Because his lateral movement is so questionable, you know?
Yeah, I definitely knew that. And I mean, I was going back and forth between him and Jaylen Brown at 4 and 5 there.
Yeah.
I think Murray's got maybe a slightly higher floor than Brown does.
Yeah.
I think Brown could be really good. I think he's got a little bust potential, though.
He definitely does.
But yeah, the defense is definitely a concern with Murray. I mean, his offense is obviously way ahead of his defense at this point. I do think with the coaching he's going to get in Denver, especially with Michael Malone, how much of a defensive coach he is and the background he has, I think he can definitely bring Murray along. And I think he definitely doesn't have the lateral quickness like you were saying. I think a lot of his defensive lapses last year at Kentucky just had to do with, like, effort. And I think that's something, you know, he can clean up just at the next level. But I definitely agree that defense is a concern with him for sure.
Tim, what do you think? Are you upset that the Nuggets picked Murray since Luau was still on the board?
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Harrison, in Tim's mock draft for...
The Denver Stiffs.
Denver Stiffs, right. He was doing the mock draft, and for the Nuggets, he picked Timothy Luwawu with the 7th pick.
Hey, I had Luwawu actually 6th on my big board. I'm a huge Luwawu guy as well.
Holy shit, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
see? Look at that,
bro. Oh my god, wow. All right, podcast over. Harrison, you're done.
Yeah, in Denver, people just really, really got on the Luwawu train early.
Wow.
Yeah.
Harrison.
Wow. I can tell you the people at the Stiffs went on the Luwawu train.
Okay, Harrison, you know, let's... I don't know. We probably shouldn't waste time. I was going to ask you to support your claim, but, you know, folks at home, you know, tweet in. Or, you know, shout me out at Almighty Prophet. Shout out Harrison at whatever his Twitter was. NBA Wind.
Yep.
You know, at TDelia96 also, and let us know what you think about Timothy Luwawu. But, you know, this podcast actually isn't about Timothy Luwawu. We are having a Timothy Luwawu-only podcast. We're actually going to have, like, a 5-episode series. I'm just kidding. you know, you brought up Brown.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown.
And, you know, the two of them are really interesting picks just because I feel like, you know, and I'm from Dallas. I always thought that Rondo's psychological, intellectual profile made him such an interesting pick and such an interesting player. And I feel like Jaylen Brown and then also Jamal Murray are just two really interesting, like, they have a lot of cool, interesting thoughts. And, you know, Jaylen Brown was taking advanced classes and Jamal Murray does yoga and kung fu and all this stuff. Have you read about that, Harrison?
Yeah, I saw he meditates every day, I think he said.
I mean, that's crazy. Tim, had you heard about this?
Not before you showed me.
Yeah, I guess you read in the notes, but he said that he can slow his resting heart rate down to 36 BPM, which is, like, crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, right? And I think that's just really interesting for the front court between him and Moutier, because I feel like Moutier looks the same way when he's playing. Sometimes in games, everything slows down for him, and he's playing at his best when it looks like he's moving in slow motion. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It looks like he's thinking in slow motion, but he's so fast that it's like going at the right speed, and he's so mechanical, and he's hitting these bounce passes into Jokic and skip passes out to the corner threes for Gary Harris. And, like, I just feel like the dynamism between the two of them can be such an interesting combination in the backcourt.
It's going to be fantastic to watch. Like, what were they saying last year? That if he'd gone to college, he would have been 1 or 2. I don't know, I read that somewhere. I'm not sure if it's true.
Yeah, he was my number 2 behind Karl Anthony Towns, actually.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I remember it was pretty surprising when he fell all the way to 7 last year for Denver. He was, you know, possibly going to go to Philly and then New York and Sacramento, and then nobody took him.
Yeah, I mean, the Kings, of course, went for a big man. Oh, God.
You can't expect the Kings to do anything.
I think that, you know, out of all the big men that they've picked the last few years, of which there are like 70 or 80, I think their pick last year was great. I really like Willie Cauley-Stein, and he's starting to get a little bit of a jump shot, and, like, he's great. But, I mean, the last thing they need is, like, 15 more big men. I just don't understand. But, yeah, I mean, I was shocked that Moutier went so far. You know, I feel like there was a lot made about Chris Dunn this year after he went on Woj's podcast and a couple of other things, like on ESPN and everything, and talked about his background and the stuff that he'd been through in his life. And Emmanuel Mudiay, to me, was last year's equivalent of that, because did you read up on all the crazy stuff he went through when he was in China, you know, like trying to get public transportation without speaking Chinese out to, like, you know, weird Western Chinese provinces, and not knowing, like, having to, like, figure out all this stuff for himself when he's, like, 17, 18 years old?
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course.
I mean, that's such a crazy life to have been through, and I just felt like he survived that, and then he also survived the knock of getting waived, and the Chinese league doesn't guarantee contracts for anyone, and he just had been through so much adversity, and for him to come out, you know, for his draft day interviews and show his level of poise and everything, I just sort of always knew that he was going to be an all-star. I mean, I think it's going to take like 2 or 3 years, because the Colorado sports guys refer to him as the rookiest of rookies, and definitely I think that's the case, but I think he'll, you know, he shows tremendous upside for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you. Like, whenever you talk to him, whenever you're around him, he's carries himself like he's been in the league for, you know, 15 years. Mm-hmm. He doesn't, like, act like a 19-year-old, and I guess now he's 20. But, yeah, and I think, like you were saying, it kind of translates to how he plays on the court.
Yeah.
You know, like, even at the beginning of last year when he was turning the ball over like crazy, he still had poise.
And in
the second half of the season, he, like, the game really slowed down for him, and I think that has a lot to do, like, with his maturity, as you were saying. Mm-hmm.
On his last 100 threes of the season, he shot 37% from three, which is, like, a far cry. I mean, his shooting was so bad at the start of the season that despite that, despite his improvement, he finished with, like, 38 for the season. And I think people, because he had that super slow start, they just sort of missed the boat on him. You know, Tim, speaking of sort of having this, like, you know, really impressive poise for his age and everything, what did you think about Jokic last year? What did you think about watching him sort of develop over the course of the year and watching Mike Malone figure out that he was such a threat and he had such a well-developed offensive game?
Yeah, I was, like, just before the season started, like, just after Summer League, I saw the last game where I can't remember what his stats were, but he was just scoring and rebounding, doing whatever he does. And I went to, like, read up on him. I saw that he was, like, didn't he win MVP of the Serbian League?
He did. Or it might have been Russian League, but
it was Serbian. It was the Adriatic League. Yeah, I don't know what that is, right. But yeah. So I was like, oh, this guy's good. Like, why would he be, you know, sitting lost in the bench in the rotation? And, well, speaks for himself what he did. I didn't realize he was such a good passer, which makes him even more fun. But I think it was the Spurs game that he got his highest scoring points, highest rebounds in a game. He just looked completely at home. Like,
yeah. Harrison, do you remember that game?
Yeah.
I do remember that game. It was probably one of his better games of the year. And I think you really saw the signs of what he could be at Summer League. He was doing, like, some stuff from the elbow and shooting the three and passing at Summer League. And you were like, hey, this guy could be pretty good. And then it was funny because at Media Day, beginning of last year, the Nuggets, of course, had, like, a ton of big men with Nurkic and Fareed and Darrell Arthur and Joffrey. And it didn't seem like there was a lot of playing time available for Jokic. And Michael Malone said, like, hey, Jokic probably isn't going to play a lot this year. And then, you know, couple months into the season and he's already starting. Yeah. So it was a pretty quick rise for him.
Yeah, and, you know, facing that adversity of the head coach even saying, you know, publicly, like, we aren't planning on giving this guy a bunch of minutes, it shows that he really earned every minute he got and he earned that starting role. And I think, you know, despite the knocks on his athleticism and, you know, how someone with his level of foot speed can move in, you know, the modern NBA that it's moving towards, I feel like he has to be part of the Nuggets core moving forward, right?
Definitely. I mean, I think it's him and Mudiay and I guess Murray now. And I'm also a big Gary Harris guy, so I lump him in there as well.
Yeah. Tim's a big Gary Harris guy too.
Yeah, what happened? That's what I want to know, Harrison. What happens to Gary now?
I think Gary's still going to obviously start the year at the shooting guard. Connolly said that last night, that he's going to, you know, the shooting guard spot is still his.
Mm-hmm.
I think Murray's actually a kind of interesting option if he was to commit to it as kind of a six-man instant offense guy off the bench. Just because, you know, his defense isn't really far along, and that's obviously one of Gary's biggest strengths. I think he's definitely going to come off the bench. I think you'll see those three play together at times, for sure. I think you'll see Murray at the one and Harris at the two at times. Because I think he's going to play mostly two, but I think he's going to also potentially be the backup point guard.
Yeah, I feel like they should hold on to DJ Augustine for sure until Murray shows exactly what type of skill set he has. But he's definitely made a point of mentioning that he feels like he has point guard skills, so it'll be interesting to see if that's the case.
Right, yeah, it was weird. He came out and said, like, on the conference call last night that he's a point guard in a shooting guard's body, which I think kind of caught everybody off guard because we all assumed he was, you know, going to be playing off ball. And then Tim Connolly came out and said he's like the true definition of a combo guard in his presser. So yeah, he's definitely going to be playing some one and some two.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's been saying stuff like that pretty much since he went to Kentucky, that, you know, him and his agents have been really pushing this idea that he's a combo guard. I'm not sure what to make of that. I'm also not sure of whether or not I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I definitely want to wait and make sure that that's the case. And that's why I think it's important to hold on to Augustine. And, I mean, the other non-future piece that I feel like they have to hold on to, you know, I was listening to Sam Vecini's podcast. You know, shout out Sam Vecini. He's actually going to come on the podcast next week. But he made the point of mentioning that it's just really hard to integrate three more rookies, especially if you're the Nuggets and you have such a young core already. You're going to need guys like Wilson Chandler. You know, you're going to need guys like DJ Augustine who are professionals, unless you want to have a 76ers situation on your hands where, you know, Jokic and Nurkic are driving at 106 miles an hour down Denver streets and, like, getting into fights over people for talking shit about Croatia or whatever, you know? What do you think about that? You know, isn't that power forward, the 6'9" or 6'10" guy, what's his name? Man, I need to just pull up the Nuggets roster so I can remember. No, I hate Free. Sorry.
We went through this before.
Darrell Arthur?
Right, yeah. I've heard that Darrell Arthur is a good locker room presence. Do you know anything about that, Harrison?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because before last season, the Nuggets were coming off 2 years of Brian Shaw, and that locker room was just like a mess. The culture was, you know, non-existent. It was a terrible locker room. And they kind of remade the whole locker room culture and really the culture around the team in one off season. They like brought in, you know, a really stable coach and Michael Malone, who's not going to like throw his players under the bus or anything and just be a real positive guy. You know, they brought in veterans like Jameer Nelson and Mike Miller, who was huge behind the scenes. And they got rid of a guy like Ty Lawson, who wasn't the best influence to a lot of younger guys. So
you could say that.
So they really like remade and refocused the culture in one off season. So now it's like a great, you know, learning environment for these young guys.
Tim, what do you think about that? Are you? I know Ty Lawson is. Is he still your favorite player or what?
Nah, it's moved on. Jokic is my favorite player, or Augustine. But
okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, I kind of realized Ty wasn't the best, but that trade, the trade to Houston, it only hurt. I mean, I knew I had to go. Like, Brian Shaw's gone. We needed to restart things. The only thing that hurt was because I went to Houston and James is Houston, so
yeah.
Apart from that, I was all right with it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't get a whole lot back in return, but I just feel like, you know, you guys have made a point of mentioning that they really needed to hit the restart button. And all things considered, you know, Tim Connelly, within like a year of that happening, got a contract extension, the first time anyone had gotten an extension, or any management people had gotten an extension under current ownership. And the fact that they did that without really, you know, ever making the playoffs or winning a ton of wins, or without taking the magic approach and selling their souls, the fact that they got an extension and now, you know, they're starting to build momentum is really impressive to me, because I think that the Nuggets were definitely... I was afraid that the Nuggets were going to see that their ratings were so bad. I'm pretty sure that they were second in the league behind Pelicans for worst TV ratings, and then just feel like, okay, now we have to like sell our souls and go chase a star like, you know, Monte Ellis or something like that. I mean, I guess that's still in the cards, but I mean, you guys have got to feel a lot better about the, you know, likelihood of that happening, or lack of likelihood, I suppose.
Okay. I was just gonna ask, in America, do you guys like frown upon drafting, like rebuilding slowly, like building heaps of draft picks and then building up a team that way?
Or is that? I think it really depends on a couple of things. I think it depends on like the market you're in. If you're in a big market like LA or New York or Miami or Philly. Yeah, Chicago, you're not gonna want to rebuild slowly with like draft picks and stuff. But if you're in a smaller market and you have, you know, ownership that trusts what you're doing and has kind of faith in the process,
trust the process.
Exactly. It's definitely a good way to go. I think most smart basketball people think, and I think the Nuggets' focus around that has kind of shifted. Where I think maybe 2 or 3 years ago, if they were in this situation, they would have tried to rebuild really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now they're kind of realizing that they've got something really good happening, and they just have to maybe stick with it for another 2 years, and then they'll really reap the benefits. But
yeah,
I think there is. I'm at least a little bit concerned that, you know, with the cap room they'll have this summer, and especially next summer, if, you know, they have a similar performance to last season, they'll be tempted to really like splurge on a big name. And where I come from, I think they should just keep, you know, keep on the course they're on. I'm a big proponent of continuity with the roster and just kind of keep building with what they have. So yeah, that's definitely a fear. And like you said, the TV ratings were horrible last year. They were last in attendance. So I was kind of worried there was going to be pressure on the ownership to, you know, draft Buddy Hield or something, like a big name like that.
That would have been okay.
Yeah.
I like Buddy. But yeah, fair enough.
Luckily, I
get your point.
Yeah, they didn't have to make that decision. Yeah, yeah.
You've been listening to Almighty Ballin', the Almighty Podcast, brought to you by Fan Essentials and SeatGeek. Use the promo code Almighty to either get 30% off your first Fan Essentials subscription box. And Fan Essentials is the coolest NBA team gear monthly fan box. Whichever team you like, they got it. Rockets, Warriors, Wizards, 76ers, you name it, they've got it. And when you use the promo code Almighty, you get 30% off either the rookie package, which is $14.99, but then with 30% off is $10.50, or 30% off the veteran package, which is $34.99, but after you get 30% off, it's only $25. And hey, when you do that, you're supporting Almighty Ball and the Almighty Podcast. But on top of that, I've been lucky enough to have a sponsorship from SeatGeek. SeatGeek is considering making that a permanent partnership, and I need your help. I would really appreciate it if you wouldn't do this for me, because if Almighty Ball and the Almighty Podcast can secure a SeatGeek sponsorship going into the future, it would be huge for us. If you would go and do that for me, it would be doing me a huge favor. And also, it'd be doing yourself a huge favor, because SeatGeek is awesome. It's the best ticket finding app on the market. You can get it on Android, iPhone, or use it online. Whatever device you're listening to this podcast on, just look it up and check out some tickets, and remember the promo code Almighty, because it gets you a $20 rebate, which is basically like a free ticket, and also it helps us secure a SeatGeek sponsorship, which would be, again, huge for us. So thanks for listening and checking out our sponsors and supporting the podcast. I know that Tim wrote an article for AlmightyBaller.com. It was avoiding a Nuggets rebuild avalanche, and that's pretty much exactly what he expressed. He talked about, what are some of the ideas you talked about in that, Tim? Do you remember?
I said we should keep on Jameer and Mike. I said, what else? Like, just making sure that we don't splash on someone yet. The time will come soon, because we don't know, like, 100% who's going to do what yet, still.
Yeah.
Gary Harris could still turn out to be, you know, not a starter. Moutier could stop. I mean, it's unlikely, but he could stop his development. Jokic could, oh, who knows? Like, something's still going to happen. But if they go on the course that they're going, then you can... So if Moutier, Gary Harris, and Jokic all progress as they should, then you'll just need to feel like a power forward or a small forward, because by the time they're ready to challenge, I don't think Gallo and Fareed will still either be on the roster or good enough to help. But then, yeah, that's about it.
I think definitely Gallinari has to be traded. I mean, you know, he's not going to opt into his contract. I think given the current cap environment, he's going to get more than $17 million, which is crazy, but it's just the reality of it. And I think probably a couple of players that the Nuggets signed were pretty much signed to the contracts that they got because the Nuggets planned on moving them. Harrison, who are some of those guys who you're thinking about who you want to, maybe be centerpieces or just pieces of a trade to get that young star or, a guy who, I mean, maybe even a guy like Blake Griffin or just more draft picks, just more talent to sort of continue the rebuild going or maybe finish it, you know?
Yeah, well, somebody like Blake Griffin doesn't really interest me. I mean, he's got 1 year left on his deal and it's not like he's going to be re-signing in Denver, so that would just be like a 1 year rental there.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned Gallinari. He probably makes the most sense to move because, yeah, he's up after next year as well. I mean, he's probably going to be looking at, you know, a max contract, the last maybe big payday of his career, and that'd be kind of hard to give to him, you know, with his age and his injury history to stay in Denver.
Yeah.
But it's going to be tough because the Nuggets have come out and said, you know, all offseason that their goal is to make the playoffs this year and they're done losing. And it was funny, Tim Connelly said it last night, like last year was an utter disappointment. Like they were so upset about their record last year. And so next year is all about just making the playoffs, and that's going to be really tough without.
Yeah, I guess that does throw a wrench in the plans.
Yeah.
That does really throw a wrench in the plans, which is too bad because, you mentioned that you were interested in seeing how Jaylen Brown's development goes, and I had been thinking about a potential Gallinari Nurkic for Jaylen Brown, some other piece, you know, maybe making some sense. I mean, what do you think about a move like that? Or do you just think, you know, it sounds like maybe you would like that, but it's just not on the table as far as the Nuggets are concerned?
Yeah, I'd be in favor of that for sure. Because, I mean, as it is right now, Gallinari's timeline isn't really on the same one that Moutier and Harris and Murray and Jokic are on.
Yeah.
So, I'd definitely be in favor of that. I'm not sure ownership or Tim Connelly would move Gallinari unless they're getting a player back who can, you know, or two players back that can kind of almost equal his production, though.
Immediately, you mean?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Because, I mean, like I said, they're trying to make the playoffs this year.
Well, so, Tim and then Harrison, I guess, just give your reaction to whoever Tim says. Just, like, looking at this Nuggets roster, if you were in Tim Connelly's position, and I don't think it's insane to project onto him that although he's disappointed and his rhetoric to the media has been, we want to win, their actions anyways, it's like a politician, right? Like, you know, you see their true colors through their actions. And, you know, although there's legitimate fear from the more, intelligent Nuggets fan base, there's reasons to fear that he's going to cash in a little too early, but he hasn't done that yet. So projecting onto Tim that they are going to go for this slow, smart rebuild. I've heard that phrase a lot, smart rebuild. Who are some of the guys who, you know, if you were in charge and you were doing what you guys think is the right trajectory for this Nuggets franchise, who would you be looking to move on from, and then who do you want to hold on to? Because I feel like, specifically in the backcourt, you got to move on from either Gary Harris or Will Barton.
Okay, well, I'll start with who to keep. Mudiay, Jokic. I still want Nurkic. I don't know how that's going to turn out, but I still want to keep him for at least another season. I think Will Barton can play more minutes as a small forward, depending on Gallinari's, you know, what happens to Gallinari.
Will Barton's like 140 pounds or something, right?
Will Barton? I don't know. I got no idea.
Yeah, I mean, he's really light.
I have no idea. So Gallo and Fareed are probably the most likely to leave. I mean, all I've seen in the last couple of days is people proposing Fareed trades. And, I mean, I know you like that, Prof, but I'm not...
Yeah, so Harrison, running down that list, Nurkic, Will Barton, Fareed, just give me your take on those guys and whether or not you want to see them on the Nuggets going forward.
Yeah, well, I think Barton's kind of the odd man out in the backcourt, at least. I mean, yeah, he can play some three.
He's 170 pounds, by the way.
Right, yeah. I mean, he can play... He's played a lot of three last year, actually. But I think he's kind of the odd man out if you're looking at the backcourt. And then, yeah, in the frontcourt, Fareed's been obviously the most rumored guy to be moved. I wouldn't have been surprised if he was moved last night. And I think there's definitely a chance he could be moved, you know, this summer before next year, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah, you brought up Jusuf Nurkić, and he had a really tough year last year.
Back injuries and stuff, or was it foot? Well, I don't remember.
It was, he had off-season surgery on his patellar tendon and his knee.
Yeah.
His rehab really didn't go so well. And then he got off to a rough start with Malone as well. I think they thought he was coming back earlier than he actually did. And so there was kind of some tension there.
I hear there was maybe some attitude problems.
Yeah, there were a little bit. Those are at least the rumblings that I heard. There were a little bit of attitude problems. So, I mean, we'll see how that shakes out. I don't know if somebody like Nurkic is going to be cool with coming off the bench, you know, his entire career. Because, I mean, obviously Jokic is the guy you're moving forward with. And I'm not really under the belief that they can play together, like, extended minutes. So
what is that line? It was the Jokic lineup, or
right?
Whatever.
Right, yeah. The Jokic lineup.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doubtful about that too.
Yeah, I just don't think that's. I mean, I think that lineup could play together like 10 minutes a night, maybe, but I don't think like significant minutes there. So if you're keeping him, you're looking at him as a backup center, and I mean that'd be great if he's looking to if he's receptive of that role. I'm just not sure he would be.
Yeah, I can't imagine he would. So I guess that's going over who you want to potentially move on from. But it sounds like you probably are really in on this trio of Jokic, Mudiay, and now Jamal Murray. What type of players do you want to have around them? Do you think that I can't imagine... I think when they picked Malik Beasley, it was probably more their thinking was, okay, let's get the best guy on the board rather than someone who actually fits in with the team. And that's okay. I think the Nuggets have been good about stashing good trade assets. But maybe Juan Hernan Gomez, I don't know that much about him, you know, but maybe you think that he's a good fit going forward. Just it's hard to know who the players are going to be, but what type of players do you think are good going forward for the 3 and 4 positions?
Well, I think going into last night, at least, the two biggest needs were shooting and a stretch four, also rim protection, too.
Mm-hmm.
So they got the shooting with Jamal Murray.
They really got the shooting.
Right. And I still think they need somebody at that stretch four. I think Hernan Gomez could be that guy in 2 years. I don't think he'll be playing in Denver next season. I don't think he'll be over in Europe still. So I think they're still looking for some type of stretch four guy, you know, somebody else who can stretch the defense from three. And then maybe another rim protection guy as well.
Yeah. What do you think, Tim? What type of players do you want to see the Nuggets looking for at the 3 and 4?
Luawi? Nah. I'm not sure. I mean, someone like Jay Crowder, maybe, but like younger.
Yeah, I think that's pretty hard to get.
Yeah, I mean, Gallinari still has, like, I sort of like his assets, like what he's got.
Yeah, as far as skills.
He's been good, he hasn't set the world on fire, but someone, maybe like another Gallinari, but younger. I mean, that's sort of pointless, but
yeah,
still, someone like that.
Yeah, I just feel like Mike Malone's got to be looking for someone who's better on defense from a stretch four.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll be able to get him, but a couple of names I've been thinking of that would kind of fill that role would be like Marvin Williams and Jared Dudley. Yeah, they're a little older, but they're kind of that, you know, they can hit from the perimeter. They can also slide in to play a small ball for a little. So I think those guys would be good fits. I don't know if they'll have the money to get him or if those guys would even want to come here. But
what about like Luol Deng?
Yeah, Luol Deng would do that. Yeah, I mean, he would do that. I'd probably rather those other guys over him. But yeah, somebody kind of in that mold, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Luol Deng would slot in well with Mike Malone's ideal type of player. And then I feel like they're actually all going to demand the same amount of money, which is like way too much. But I've been thinking it might be possible to get a guy like that for a lot of teams if you're just like, hey, you know, we don't want to use all of our money long term. And if you go into free agency next summer, you'll make even more money. So how about we just pay you a 1 year max and you can have a player option, which hopefully they would decline so that you could spend money on that star. Yeah, I've been thinking about an option like that. I just feel like everyone is looking for that type of player, and it might be best for the Nuggets to just keep looking for him in the draft. You know what I mean?
Yeah, look.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you. It's those are the toughest guys to find in the league, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, you saw the Celtics pick that. I'm not even gonna try, but that French guy. You know, do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, he's like a French Draymond. He's like a French Draymond Green, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, they picked him way early trying to get him. And, you know, everyone's looking for that type of guy. And, I mean, I get it. I understand that gamble for sure by the Celtics. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting watching the Nuggets going forward as they try to find who that 3 and 4 is. Because I really like their pieces 1, 2, and 5. But it just so happens that their gaps are the hardest two positions to fill in a modern NBA system, you know?
Right.
Well, so I guess both of you guys, you know, starting with Tim and then ending with Harrison, how many wins do you see this team getting next year? And then let's say 3 years down the line.
Next year, probably just a bit of an increase, probably about another 5 or more wins.
Really?
I'm not sure if we'll make playoffs. I reckon miss out by a couple, maybe. Well, it depends what the bottom of the playoffs is. If the West improves from last year, I don't think we'll make it.
Yeah, and they just have such a young squad. It's hard for me to imagine them making a big jump forward. What do you think, Harrison?
Well, I think it's all going to depend on health, right? If Chandler stays healthy, if Gallinari stays healthy, they probably have, you know, 5 or more wins last year. So I think if all those guys stay healthy, you know, you're looking at maybe like 6, an increase of like 6 wins, maybe like 7. I think they'll be right there for the 8 seed. Not sure if they'll make it. You look at Minnesota, I think Minnesota's probably going to be better than Denver next year. They've jumped them in, you know, one off season.
I have them in like the lower 50s, honestly.
Right. So I think it's going to be tough for them to make the playoffs. I think they'll definitely be in contention for the 8 seed, you know, in the last couple months of the season. I think that should be the goal. But yeah, it's going to be tough for them to make the playoffs next year again. I think if they continue on this path and the year after, I think they'll definitely be, you know, a 6 or 7 or 8 seed.
Yeah. Well, hey, guys, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. You've been listening to Almighty Ball on the Almighty Podcast, and my guest today again was Harrison Wind. Harrison, thanks for coming on. You want to throw your Twitter by everyone one more time?
Yeah, no problem. Anytime, man. You can follow me on Twitter at NBA Wind, all my stuff on bsndenver.com.
Tim?
At tdelia96 is my Twitter. And yeah, if you want to find my work, at Denver Stiffs.
All right, cool. Yeah, this is a really interesting Denver Nuggets team. I'm glad that we got to sit and chat about them for a little bit. You know, keep watching out, listeners. I think I'm going to have Nate Timmons on, so we're going to do like a double profile of the Nuggets. So, yeah, keep an eye out for that. It's a really cool young team with a lot of flexibility, and I think they've been good at accruing assets. So thanks for taking the time to come on and talk about them for a while. This is The Prof, Chris Axman signing off. Thanks for listening. And this episode has been brought to you, as always, by Fan Essentials and SeatGeek. Good night, everyone.